Happy Memorial Day. This is the time, the federal holiday we celebrate each year on the last Monday of May to remember men and women that gave their lives in our armed services. And so this is not just another flippant date on the calendar. I mean, this is significant stuff. And for those that have not grown up in wartime, sometimes we take for granted the freedom we have, but there are those that pay the ultimate sacrifice. So it's a good and healthy thing to pause in our calendar. And along with having time with family and friends and going to the beach and grilling out, just to actually pause. Actually, it was written in to a federal statute that people would actually pause and have a moment of silence at 3 o'clock on Monday. I'd never really knew about that. I don't ever remember even doing that. But when it was conceived, it was something that evolved to putting that into the calendar as well. Again, because it's sober as far as the price of what those that protected our nation, the sacrifice they paid. So it's a holiday of remembrance. It was originally known as what? Decoration Day. And it was a tradition where people would put flowers on the graves of fallen soldiers, and they would decorate the tombs with flowers. Memorial Day started after the Civil War, actually in 1868. And as you know, and as it's more relevant for us, because sometimes our mind just doesn't go there, Memorial Day typically marks the beginning of the what season? Of the summer season. And what typically ends the summer season in our mind? Labor Day, the first Monday in September. So this is kind of the official in our culture kind of kickoff to the summer, even though technically it's in June. And so while the tradition started after the Civil War, the colonial militia who fell in the Revolutionary War fighting for our nation's independence from Great Britain marks our first war. We've had battles and skirmishes, but that too was a critical war. The 13 original colonies, led by George Washington, stood in the face of amazing odds. When you read about the Revolutionary War, it's incredible. This George Washington, who had a couple of horses shot out from under him, there were bullets that ripped through his coat. One time an Indian chief said about him, he said, "The Great Spirit is with that man and he's destined to birth a great nation." Because it was illogical, Washington would lead from the front instead of leading from the rear. Most generals are protected in the rear. He would lead from the front and he would go right into the spray of bullets. And so as this Indian chief began to observe how just these musket balls would just somehow just elude him, he thought someone's got to be protecting this mighty leader. And so it was quite a feat securing our independence through his Continental Army. Just recently, our daughter has cued us in to the 2014 Netflix series, Turn. How many of y'all have seen Turn? Or maybe you've heard about it. And it's the story about Washington's spies. And I mean, he was a clever booger. I mean, Washington, it was, I mean, and at that time in the 1700s, you would think, well, how developed are they, you know, in tradecraft to even do what they did? It was fascinating when you read about it. There's a New York Times bestseller by author Brian Killamead called George Washington's Secret Six, The Spy Ring That Saved the American Revolution. But for their time, their tactics and tricks were fascinating. But of course, how many of y'all know God also had his spies as well, forging into the promised land? So, Hebrews 11, it gives us somewhat of a biblical Memorial Day list, and it lists the mighty ones that have gone before us. Of course, they're all passed away. We usually refer to this list of deceased patriarchs and matriarchs as the what? The Hall of Faith. I mean, these are big hitters. These are just generals of the faith that we have listed here. Heavy hitters, names like Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, the prophets, and on. They were mighty pillars of righteousness that verse 13 says were still living by faith when they died. In other words, they didn't just start with a head of steam. They were still clinging to the promise and clinging to their God all their days. They didn't just start well with a head of steam. Every day they were looking for the consolation of Israel. Every day, like Anna and Simeon in the temple, they were looking for him and they walked with him. They were very human, but they walked with God, and their faith is honored in this chapter. Hebrews 11:2 says that this faith is what the ancients were commended for. And this amazing list describes these awesome generals who, according to verse 33, whoops, I'm in Romans. Let me get over there with you in Hebrews. In verse 33, it begins to describe that these amazing people, it says, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured and, go figure, refused to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, while still others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned. They were sawed in two. We need a breakout with something happy after reading this. We're going to have to sing, "Oh, Happy Day." I mean, this is pretty bleak, but this is the price that our forefathers of the faith paid who went before us. They were stoned, they were sawed in two, they were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains, in caves and in holes in the ground. Amazing. No wonder they're in this list. Quite a feat. The world was not worthy of them. Can we say that together? The world. What an amazing biblical Memorial Day list. They didn't all pass away because of service to the Lord, but they all in the service of the Lord passed away while still serving Him by faith, going the distance. And among these stalwart figures, these giants, stands a lady of ill repute, ironically named Rahab. Oddly enough, this woman is hardly ever mentioned as just Rahab. She's normally mentioned Rahab the prostitute. Rahab the prostitute. It was almost like the prostitute was her last name. You know, Rahab. And they tacked that on there many times, we find in the book of Joshua, Hebrews, and James. Again, it's almost as if it's her last name. She can't seem to get away from that designation, that title. But you know, again, the list of these patriarchs and matriarchs that God used, they were certainly all very human. I mean, we could have easily pointed out their humanity. We could have said Noah, the what? The drunkard. Abraham, the liar. Jacob, the deceiver. Joseph, the braggart. Moses, the impatient one. Not to mention he killed a man. Gideon, the insecure one. Samson, the womanizer. David, the adulterer, murderer. Yeah, you get the point. They all had their humanity. I mean, it's pretty wild in this election season. It's like everybody's got a name stuck to them, all these monikers, you know, Lion Ted. You know, there's Lion Ted and Little Marco, and, you know, Crooked Hillary. you know, Crooked Hillary and Crazy Bernie and Low Energy Jeb, all these monikers, all these names that are going around. How many of y'all know we could easily have one too? We could have something that stuck, but thank God that the Lord renames us and there's righteousness imputed to us. But they all were certainly deep in their humanity, yet still this woman is a harlot. She's a prostitute, a call girl who makes money with her body. There's no way you can get around it. And I know on one level, sin is sin. And some will say, oh, well, there's no equivalency. Well, there's, you know, there was a designation here that was being pointed out. And so, again, she can't escape from this designation. But yet here this woman, the prostitute, she is on this list. I mean, that's an amazing thing. She made the list. Remarkable. Unbelievable. I mean, that's kind of like you and I taking our family on vacation to the Black Hills in South Dakota to see Mount Rushmore. And carved into the mountain, along with George Washington and Thomas Jefferson and, you know, Theodore Roosevelt and Abraham Lincoln, there's Rahab, the prostitute. I mean, that's kind of the honor that she's receiving here in this list. She's grouped together with all the greats, all these amazing leaders. Just doesn't seem to fit, does it? I mean, see it for yourself right here in this list, this sacred, amazing hall of faith. Hebrews 11:31. She's in the list. She made the cut. By faith, it reads, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient or unbelieving. There she is on Mount Rushmore. Go figure. That's a wild thing. There she is, right on that holy list of patriarchs and matriarchs. And verse 39 says that these were all, what? Commended for their faith. They were commended for their faith. Somehow around those spies, she had enough presence of mind to fear God and believe. She had enough presence of mind to fear God and believe. So let's read what happened as the people of God were about to enter Canaan, the promised land, starting with the city of Jericho. You know the story. Join me in chapter 2, if you would. Then Joshua, son of Nun, secretly sent 2 spies from Shittim. Go look over the land, he said, especially Jericho. So they went and entered the house of a prostitute named Rahab and stayed there. The king of Jericho was told, look, some of the Israelites have come here tonight to spy out the land. So the king of Jericho sent this message to Rahab, bring out the men who came to you and entered your house because they have come to spy out the whole land. But the woman had taken the 2 men and hidden them. She said, yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they had come from. At dusk, when it was time to close the city gate, the men left. I don't know which way they went. Go after them quickly. You may catch up with them. But she had taken them up to the roof and hidden them under the stalks of flax she had laid out on the roof. So the men set out in pursuit of the spies on the road that leads to the fords of the Jordan. And as soon as the pursuers had gone out, the gate was shut. Before the spies lay down for the night, she went up on the roof and said to them, I know. Now this is interesting here. You see something's different about her. She's just no ordinary sinner girl here. Listen to what comes out of her mouth. I know that the Lord has given this land to you, and that a great fear of you has fallen on us, so that all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you. We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea. For when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to Sihon and Og, the 2 kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan, whom you completely destroyed, when we heard of it, our hearts melted and everyone's courage failed because of you. For the Lord your God is a God in heaven above and on earth below. Y'all, that's good theology right there. The Lord your God, he's the God in the heaven above, but he's not an ethereal, just kind of cosmic deist that's uninvolved in the affairs of men. He's the God in the heavens above and on the earth below. It's almost as if she's prophesying. Now then, please swear to me by the Lord that you will show kindness to my family, because I have shown kindness to you. Give me a sure sign that you will spare the lives of my father and mother, my brothers and sisters, and all who belong to them, and that you will save us from death. Our lives for your lives, the men assured her. If you don't tell what we are doing, we will treat you kindly and faithfully when the Lord gives us the land. So she let them down by a rope through the window, for the house she lived in was part of the city wall. Now she had said to them, go to the hills so the pursuers will not find you. Hide yourselves there 3 days until they return, and then go on your way. The men said to her, this oath you have made us swear will not be binding on us unless when we enter the land, you have tied this scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down. And unless you brought your father and mother, brothers, and all your family into your house. If anyone goes outside your house into the street, his blood will be on his own head. We will not be responsible. As for anyone who is in the house with you, his blood would be on our hand, on our head, if a hand is laid on him. But if you tell what we are doing, we will be released from the oath you made us swear. Agreed, she replied. Let it be as you say. So she sent them away, and they departed, and she tied the scarlet cord in the window. When they left, they went to the hills and stayed there 3 days until the pursuers had searched all along the road and returned without finding them. Then the two men started back. They went down out of the hills, forded the river, and came to Joshua, son of Nun, and told him everything that had happened to them. They said to Joshua, the Lord has surely given the whole land in our hands. All the people are melting in fear because of us. Lord, we thank you for your word today. We ask you to speak to our hearts, change our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, here from chapter 2, they cross the Jordan in chapters 3 and 4. They receive circumcision at Gilgal in chapter 5. And then in chapter 6, we know the story. They go up to Jericho and they march 6 days. On the seventh day, go around 7 times, blow the trumpets, and the walls came down. It was an impenetrable city, totally fortified. No one could go in. I mean, the archaeologists talk about their speculated height of the walls that were protecting and bunkering that city. I mean, it was a fortress that could not be penetrated. But how many of you know it's no challenge for the Lord? There are things that be before you and you say it's impenetrable. Oh, but for God. Maybe it just takes a shout. Maybe it just takes, you know, a cutting a jig in the name of praise and worship and giving God a shot at it. Maybe it just takes a spoken word. Maybe it takes a little act of obedience. But walls can come down. I mean, without Goliath, there'd be no David. Hello? I mean, it wasn't just his foe. It was the entrance into his greatness. You could say in one effect that Goliath was the making of David. So even though we curse our giants, could it be that our giants are the very making of us? Could it be that that fortified thing in front of you and I is the very making of us? Because to God, it's not a wall. It's an entrance into the purpose of God. It's a gateway into the promised land. And although in just our limited renewed thinking, we may look at it and go, bad, tall, impenetrable, dark, hard. God would never say that. God would never scratch his head and go, hard, gosh, and roll over and spit and snort and huff and puff. You know, there's always a way with God. That's why we like him. That's why we love him. That's why we serve him. For nothing is impossible with God. And nothing is impossible to him who believes. So they had a word. They had divine instructions. This is what you do. You march around that bad boy. Now who, I mean, we're probably too prideful to do something like that. Kind of like the leper where the prophet said, go dip in the Jordan. I don't want to dip in the Jordan. Just do your little hocus pocus over me. And then, I mean, I'm a king. I mean, bless God, go dip in that nasty river. Are you kidding me? You know, and so sometimes we're too proud to do the little things. And so, you know, pride is a small thing to have to give up to get our breakthrough. Are we here? So it could be, you know, is it possible that we could embrace the seemingly foolish thing? And obedience sometimes doesn't always register with our mind. But God said, just you do it. and I will back you. It's not the logic of the instruction I'm giving you. It's your stepping out in faith, believing that I know what I'm doing. You don't have to know what you're doing for me to know what I'm doing. Did you hear that? You don't have to know what you're doing for me to know what I'm doing. And sometimes God will allow himself to be misunderstood by you and I for a season to get us from point A to point B. Hello. God is that secure. We don't like that, but God is willing to be misunderstood in the short term in order to get us into our destiny, in order to get us from point A to point B. And it's not a logical line. Many times it's not a linear line. Many times the path looks something, you know, like this. You know, I mean, it's rarely a straight line, but God is faithful. Can you say, but God is faithful? God is faithful, so thank God for it. So here they cross the Jordan. They come up to the city in chapter 6. And we pick up in chapter 6, verse 15. And it reads, on the seventh day, they got up at daybreak and marched around the city 7 times in the same manner, except that on that day, they circled the city 7 times. The 7th time around, when the priest sounded the trumpet blast, Joshua commanded the people, shout, for the Lord has given you the city. The city and all that is in it are to be devoted to the Lord. Only Rahab, the prostitute, and all who are with her in her house shall be spared, because she hid the spies we sent. I love that. Go take that city. We're going to level it. But Rahab will be spared. The decree of the Lord. She did right by the purpose of the Lord. And in Joshua 6, verse 24, it says, then they burned the whole city down. They shouted, the walls came down. They burned the whole city, everything in it. But they put the silver and gold and articles of bronze and iron into the treasury of the Lord's house. Verse 25, but Joshua, what? Spared Rahab, the prostitute, with her family and all who belonged to her, because she hid the men Joshua had sent as spies to Jericho, and she lives among the Israelites to this day. Isn't that amazing? Not only did they spare her, she took up refuge with them. Now she's hanging with the people of God. Jewish girl, she's not. But here you have this Gentile woman now hanging with the people of God. How many of you know that sometimes the favor of a man or a woman of God will rub off on you? I mean, just through being in proximity, some of that blessing will flow off us. And now she's hanging with the people of God. There's safety in that. And there's blessing in that. But again, even in this description, the Bible makes no attempt to hide Rahab's occupation or obscure it or cover it up. Just like the warts and all of all God's people that he used. In the Bible, it's in the open. You may think, man, I sure would have loved to have walked when Jesus did and been one of his gang. Well, he would have told everything. He would have told it all. I mean, you know this is not written by men. If it had been, they would have sanitized it. You know what I'm saying? I mean, they would have cleaned it up. You know, they would have made man look a whole lot better. But thank God they're humanized so that we can take hope. It's like, dear Lord, if God can use impetuous Peter, maybe he can use me. And even reading this list, we can do the math and deduce that if a prostitute, you know, Rahab, the prostitute, if God could use her, if she could be in this mighty list, I have hope and encouragement, he can use me. Because it's really not about me, it's really about him and his grace. But its own biblical record, it's an amazing thing to me. Was she fallen? Was she flawed? Severely. But let me make a point here. Can I make a point today? Only unworthy people go to heaven. Only unworthy people go to heaven. If we are worthy in and of ourselves, in our own thinking, we're in trouble. We're deceived, actually. God alone makes us worthy. That's why we're humble somehow and grateful. God alone reserves the right to make us worthy through Jesus, his blood, his cross, imputed to us due to faith and grace provides the logic for the change we experience. Nothing within us that we boast in, our good works or our bad works on any given day, are not good enough. People always kind of compare themselves to their roommate or people in society. Oh, I'm glad I'm not like them. We're funny people, aren't we? You know, I would never do that. Y'all know that in prison, there's even a code of ethics in prison. Y'all realize that? I'm just a thief, but he's a murderer. You know, so we're going to bully him in the lunchroom, or a pedophile. They may not even live. I'm telling you, there's a pecking order in prison, where people are making judgments on levels of sin. How many of y'all know? It just takes one misstep to break the whole law. How many people do we actually have to kill before we're a murderer? Just one. You could go and throw yourself on the court, but judge, think of all the people in the city I didn't kill. How about it? Where's my high five? How many times do you rape another before you be qualified to be a rape? Just once. You see, it just takes just one sin to become a sinner. And so there can be all these things we put misguided confidence in, but only God qualifies. He qualifies the called. He doesn't call the qualified. And aren't you glad? Doesn't that give you hope? Doesn't it cause you to relax and shift your gaze and shift your confidence to Him? Aren't you so grateful for that? I mean, here she is. She's in a world where women were often mistreated at a time when they were devalued, taken for granted. And here the author of Hebrews sticks her on the list. A woman, a harlot, a Gentile, raised in pagan religion, yet accepted by God. Again, if that doesn't give us hope for ourselves, our family, our friends, I don't know what else will. Paul made it clear to the Ephesians in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. He said, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this not from yourselves, it is the what? Gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." That means Billy Graham can't boast. Mother Teresa can't boast. The Pope can't boast. Hebrews says there's not one righteous, not even one, on their best day. You know, it's funny how we kind of feel like we're loved more when we're doing right. Man, I've been in the Word like never before, man. I got in my hour prayer today. Yeah, man, God likes me today. Yeah, like, look, just, if you don't read your Bible, He's not going to love you less. You may love Him less. But it's funny how even on our best day, we think somehow we're qualifying. You know, we kind of got a little swagger. And it's like, no. We could never do anything to Him. He's impressed by Jesus. He's impressed by His cross. Even on our best day, we're objects of grace and mercy and benevolence. Thanks be unto God. That's what makes us worshipers. Now, we can say today, we can say now about Rahab, that Rahab was a prostitute. Can you say was? Past tense. She was a prostitute. I love the rendering in 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11 here when Paul's addressing the church at Corinth. He said, "Don't you know the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't be deceived, neither the sexually immoral nor idolaters nor adulterers nor male prostitutes nor homosexual offenders nor thieves nor the greedy nor drunkards nor slanderers nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God." He goes on to say, and that is what some of you, what? Some of you what? Were, but, thank God for but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. I think this reference is so repetitive about Rahab, so we would get the gravity of it and the nickel would drop. Dear me, if that woman could get in the list, maybe somehow I can get up in that list. I think God left it there. I mean, in Jesus, she's completely sanctified and righteousness is imputed to her. Of course, she was in the old covenant where you walked with God, but at any rate, God honored faith. And so God was pleased by faith, but He does give us a new name. He does give us a new nature, and we're so very grateful for that. And so we see grace at work in her life. I mean, Rahab is even concerned for her family, even her extended family, and contends for their well-being. How many of you know not everyone does that? Not everyone always cares about the other guy, the other person. She's not just concerned for herself anymore. It's interesting also, according to this narrative, that she hangs out a scarlet cord, a red cord. I don't think that's a mere accident. There's deep symbolism at work here. The scarlet cord reminds us of the blood of the Passover, does it not? I think the color's no coincidence. The blood of Jesus always represents deliverance. It always represents protection and covering. Thank God, thank God. Rahab and her family were delivered that day. When everyone else fell, they were delivered. Somehow, she clung to the promise of that cord representing her safety and deliverance. She clung to the promise. Do we cling to and rely on the blood of Jesus? Do we believe His promises in a ready way? You know, one thing also I like about Rahab is that, yes, she believed the promise, but she also did something about it. Can you say she did something? She believed, but she acted. How many of y'all know sometimes there's a disconnect between mere mental assent and action? I mean, that's a real interesting study. I mean, Galatians always has to be balanced with the book of James. I mean, old Martin Luther, when he finally got his revelation on grace, he just thought there's no way James could be canon of Scripture, but it was. Psalm 119, the whole of thy word is truth, you see. And there's some truths that stand in tension with one another on purpose, antinomy. In other words, there's the appearance of a contradiction, but it's not really a contradiction. God's justice and God's mercy are not at odds with one another. Do we realize that? Because He's God, He doesn't have to suspend one attribute in order to exercise another attribute. But a lot of times we can only wrap our little brain around one or the other, and so we polarize around one or the other, and we'll build a camp and a theological camp around one. I believe in this. I believe in the sovereignty of God. Amen. I believe in the free will of man. You can't. I can. It's a mystery. No, but you've got to polarize because we hadn't figured that out yet. God initiates everything. By His grace, we respond. He gives us the ability to say yes. There are many things that have an appearance of being a contradiction, but that tension is where truth is found. When we relax the tension, many times we get into heresy. A lot of heresy historically is when someone has taken a revelation and has tried to push it to its logical extreme, an exclusion of other scriptures, you see. And that's why the Bible defines itself. And there are things that are held in tension. So I like the fact that she believed, and that's what Galatians talks a lot about, but she also acted, which is what James talks a lot about. Both are imperative. What would have happened if Rahab had not acted by hanging the red cord in the window? Now, she could have believed that it would have saved her, but had she not hung it in the window, it would have been a bad day, right? So what would have happened had she not acted by hanging the red cord in the window or acted honorably toward the spies? Well, again, the book of James says of her, chapter 2, 25 and 26, it says, in the same way was not even Rahab the prostitute. There's that last name again. She can't, bless her heart, can't get away from it. Rahab, you know, Crooked Hillary just can't get away from it. You know, Lying Ted. Anyway, bless her heart. Rahab the prostitute. So it says, in the same way was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she, what? Did. when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction. As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds or works is what? Is dead. She wasn't merely religious. She believed the promise and she acted on it. She believed the promise and acted on it. Many hear, but never actually do. Many hear, especially in the South, and go, oh yeah, that's good. That's good. Somebody be preaching, that's rich. That's good. You doing it? No. But boy, is it rich. That's good. You doing it? Nah. Hearing is not reality. We think because we agree with something, we are that. Does that make sense? But the belief is to find expression and action and lifestyle and steps of following the Lord and obedience. It's all by grace, but he gives the wherewithal to follow him in that way. So James 2, 18 and 19 reads, but someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do. You believe, quote, believe that there is one God. Good. Even the demons believe, and they tremble. They shudder. You believe? Great. You know, but even the demons believe. They tremble at the name of Jesus. They believe, but they're not walking with him. They're not right with him. Hello? So there is the power of an action. Here, Rahab was a hearer and a doer. When everything was about to implode, it was all about to cave in, she believed the promise and did something about it. That simple red cord saved her life. Isn't that amazing? A simple scarlet cord saved the woman's life. Even a harlot can believe and be saved. Amazing. I mean, think about it. All the people she bedded down with. It was her livelihood. How can God forgive her? How can God receive her? Again, only unworthy people go to heaven. Only unworthy people. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Church, there's hope for all. That's the good news. That's why she's in there, in my opinion, in God's sovereignty. That's why she's in the list. We easily forget the humanity of the rest. It's swallowed up by their great actions, their heroic actions, and they were. But we easily dismiss their humanity. I think she's put there to say, you can never go so far. You can never be so outcast. You can never be just so disqualified. Jesus' innocent blood, that's what it's about. Jesus plus nothing. There's nothing we can bring to the table. There's no need for the hamburger helper. You know, God and a little bit of my help. God and a little bit of my righteousness. God and a little bit of my self-helper. No, we lay down flat on the mat. We go, pinned, you've got me. I can bring nothing to the table. I put the totality of my confidence in you. Therefore, there is hope for all. There is hope for all. Don't we think that's why God put it there? A little bit of faith and a great big God. A little bit of faith and a great big God. But her faith caused her to welcome the spies and then send them on their way. Her faith caused her to hang the scarlet cord in the window. That's why she's on the list. Can you imagine that? All she did was welcome some spies. All she did to save her neck, let's take a little scarlet cord. But it's what she was supposed to do. You put the red cord there, you'll be saved. Sometimes we're like, that just doesn't compute. You know, the thief on the cross, how could he say, surely today you'll be with me in paradise? How can he take someone in the 11th hour when the others have been laboring in the fields all day? Because he can be merciful to whomever he chooses to dispense mercy. We don't want to get mad because he's kind to another. We want to realize there's more where that comes from. Sign me up. I'm next. Kind of like a barbershop. Next. Sign me up. I'm next in line. I'll take some of that. I'll take some of that. That's why she was on the list. And then I wonder, what happened to old Rahab after the fall of Jericho? Yes, she was there amongst the Israelites. Whatever happened to Rahab? Anyone know? Well, Rahab got married. Isn't that sweet? Rahab got married. She settled down. Began to live right. She has changed. She marries a Jewish man named Salmon. Together, now she's Rahab the wife. She shut the door to others. She's Rahab the wife with Salmon. They give birth to a son. Name him Boaz. Now she's Rahab the mother. You go, girl. Love it. Rahab the mother. Boaz marries Ruth and gives birth to a son named Obed. Obed has a son named Jesse. Jesse has a son named David. King David. Oh, my, 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 my. How God qualifies the called. You can do the math. Oh, my, 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 my. Jesus came from where? What was his lineage? Oh, boy. Matthew 1. You say, man, I came from some, you know, some surly actors. I mean, you may look at your pedigree and go, dear me. I mean, I'd like to forget quick some of the things that are in my family tree. Jesus, well, let's just read here in Matthew 1, verse 5. You can see it to yourself. Thank God for all the genealogy. Salmon, the father, Boaz, whose mother was Rahab. Boaz, the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth. Obed, the father of Jesse, and Jesse, the father of whom? Go figure. Rahab, the harlot, is a part of Jesus' family tree. Due to faith. Dude, that's amazing. The gift of grace is so free, it's not logical. The freeness, I'm sure that's not a word, the freeness of the free gift of God is just so free that our heads go on tilt. It's free for those who call on his name. I love it. It dispels all human pride, all striving, all self-righteousness. There's no room for it at the foot of the cross. And so the person who doesn't have her track record, who lived somewhat of an upright life by grace, and Rahab, they both are equal at the foot of the cross. Thank God. And he throws our sin as far as east is from the west, post a sign in the sea of forgetfulness that says no fishing, gives us a new name, imputes righteousness to us. Two thoughts today, church. First, only the unworthy go to heaven. Secondly, there is hope for all through faith. Faith in God makes all kind of things possible. If God would do that through Rahab the prostitute, what might he do with you and me? Happy Memorial Day. Let's stand up together. Lord, we thank you for this list of the generals. Thank you for this list. The patriarchs, the matriarchs, the ancients of old that were all commended due to their faith. They were far from perfect. They were flawed. They were fallen. Yet through them, they conquered kingdoms, sent enemies and armies to flight, Lord, you used them, Lord, in their humanity. And Lord, you went so far as to put a woman of ill repute in that list so that we would do a double take and just realize how kind you are and how much hope there is for those who would dare call on the name of the Lord in truth. So we thank you for that encouragement today. Lord, thank you that today we stand on the shoulders of giants. There's a great cloud of witnesses that surround us. And because of their contribution and their sacrifices, we can be here today because they laid their lives down. So we just thank you for that. The shoulders of giants that made such a contribution to our experience.